much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hands down, this is the most important broadcast of my life. And probably one of the most important transmissions you've ever seen.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Hillary's involved. Of course she is. Look at that big, dominant, crazy Joker face, man. That woman's a frickin' hellhound. An actual, full-bore, bipedal, conscious, walking demon.
Right?
Antichrist. Bible says there's many antichrists, folks, but she is. She's a walker. I mean, she's full possessed. When that demon lets out of there, she hits the ground. That's the FBI. They've been around her. Secret Service. The people have nightmares. They crap their pants. They want off the detail. I don't know whether it's some super mental illness or whether interdimensional crap's real or whatever. The point is, people that have been around her start crying.
And now.
I can't wait to die.
Our feature presentation.
That's real talk right there, man.
Right?
Right.
He's the best. Alex Jones is, I wish I could remember the numbers. He's broadcasting live for like 50 hours leading up to the and through Election Day.
Oh, dear.
Imagine how he's going to get at some point.
So good.
Right?
What if the longer he goes, the more sense he starts making?
That terrifies me to hear you even say that, even suggest that.
So at the end, he's actually making perfect sense.
Perfect sense. We're like, giving out good advice. How did I not see this? Yes.
No, he was strong. He did a special Saturday night 2-hour broadcast over the weekend. Not even on TV, not even on his he has 200 affiliates on radio, by the way.
Does he really?
Well, he said that on his show. I don't know if it's true, but he did say that. But because, you know, we're so close now to the election and, you know, Hillary is the Antichrist, so we got to get that word out there. So, anyway, good times, right?
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean show. It is Monday the 7th.
That's correct.
It's so close. We're so close to the 8th.
Yes, we are.
Of November. It's almost here.
Well, as Saturday Night Live as Saturday Night Live put it so well during the weekend update on Saturday night, which is when that show airs.
What the hell is going on? Do we start from the beginning? Or
we're almost to the point of the election, which we have to get past so we can get right to impeaching whoever wins. So I think that's the direction that we're all headed. And look, I know we're not going to talk very much about politics today. I know
Wrong.
People are probably happy to hear that. But when they take away your Twitter account, I mean, when the campaign says to the candidate, you're not allowed to tweet anymore, we're taking it away from you, we're changing the password, and we're not telling you what it is so you can't tweet.
Don't you think they've been saying that all along, though?
Well, but they haven't taken it away.
Well, how can you?
They advised him not to tweet.
They literally changed passwords, everything. He could not get on his Twitter. He wants to be the leader of the free world. They won't let him tweet.
I mean,
that's pretty funny.
When I heard that, I thought, two things. One is, isn't that what you do to like a baby where you don't want them to have a cardboard box because they might cut themselves? I mean, isn't that the way he's being treated?
Yes,
is like
a
he can't handle
Indeed.
Something safe.
Babies are always like, give me that cardboard box,
cardboard,
Dad.
And then it just cuts them.
Cardboard
is rough.
It is sharp.
Because babies have no judgment, you have to be extra careful about things that they get in their hands.
How about
a scissors or a knife or something? What's cardboard?
Because obviously
what kind of horrible example is that?
No, what kind of babies do you hang out with?
And my final point is,
what's happening?
My final point is, even Kevin is allowed to tweet, right? We let Kevin tweet, and Donald Trump's not allowed to tweet.
But we do not give him cardboard.
But I'm solid, right?
That's true.
No cardboard.
All right, do we have time for a thing, or do we have to get on with it?
Okay. Yeah, we have time.
All right. I love the we didn't cover this last week, but I'm sure you saw it online. This student who goes to Kansas State University who was on the internet last week because he had posted a note that was left in his car. He had left his car for about 15 minutes in front of the dorms, and he came back, and there was a note in the cup holder in his car. And it said, I saw Kit Kats in your cup holder. I love Kit Kats. So I checked your door, and it was unlocked. I didn't take anything else other than the Kit Kat. I am so sorry and hungry.
Oh.
Just sad, right?
Yeah.
So he posted that on his social media. And the Kit Kat company wrote to him and said, oh, man, who steals somebody's Kit Kat? Like, who does that? DM me your address and we will replace it for you, which was an appropriate way to handle that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what they ended up doing is they filled his car with 6,500 Kit Kat bars. And he opened it up to the school and said, anyone who wants a Kit Kat bar, come on by. I'm spreading the wealth.
Oh.
So there's this big line of kids at this, again, Kansas State University who are all lined up, and he's handing out Kit Kat bars. And it's just such a feel-good story, the way this whole thing ended, you know? He said, look, he said, I'm not mad about the, you know, the person who took it. I hope I hope it helped, and I hope they come forward and give him as many Kit Kats if they want. I'd like to shake his hand and wish him well, whoever that person was, and I'm happy to share my Kit Kats with you.
Aw. Break me
just,
off.
I just think that's just, yeah, break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar, right? I just think that's a very sweet story.
Why are you laughing so hard, Kevin?
I just find it funny, that's all.
You find what funny?
I just find it funny. He took a Kit Kat, broke it, took a Kit Kat, left a note.
Uh-huh.
That cracks me up.
But if
that's not funny to you?
No, I mean,
I understand that you're saying it's really nice the way this guy handled it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The way this guy handled it well.
Kit Kat handled it, yeah.
Yeah,
it went from being kind of sad that this person was so hungry and so desperate that they would steal chocolate. And clearly this was a person who did it with remorse because they went to the extra trouble to leave the note. And that would have been troubling just to think about that poor person out there living that life. And it just turned around where now he's welcome and all's forgiven and come on by and get all the free Kit Kats you wanted. I just thought it was a sweet story, which is the kind of story that we need right now.
I need a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
So that does sound good about now, doesn't
right
it?
Now. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Zero Club, baby! That's how we roll, motherfucker!
That's Omar. Yeah, who works here.
I'm so thug.
Right. On the program today, Andrew Siciliano as well from the NFL Network, talking about NFL Week 9, the recap. We have, thanks for that tweet, Bean, the Daylight Savings.
Standard Poor Time.
Standard edition.
The Standard Time edition.
Right.
It's Daylight Saving Time ended.
As Bean fights the world.
And wins.
Wins, right?
And
you're winning.
Wins.
Sure. You and Charlie Sheen. Harvey Levin on the program like we do on Mondays. And at 7:15, we've got all the details for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Wow.
All the details. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Well, as Saturday Night Live as Saturday Night Live put it so well. During the weekend update on Saturday night, which is when that show airs.
What the hell's going on?
That was a moment with Bean.
That is Hall of Fame
Yikes.
Quality right there, isn't
right?
it?
Right?
That
That's
else.
The way to kick off a week.
What night's Monday Night Football on, do you know? If Saturday Night Live's on Saturday, I'm confused now.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I'm confused as well, and I said it. Hey, Ralph Garvin, how was your weekend, sir?
Oh, it's so good with all the magic things. That happened.
Were there magic things?
No. We all just went about our business.
Well, I thought maybe, you know, you have fun things.
What'd you think?
What's happening? He just said,
what are you thinking?
He just said, I thought maybe you had fun things. That's what he said.
It was a busy weekend, family and stuff.
What's going on with you, man? You all right?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm sorry. Hey, it's 5:55. Ralph is here. It's time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
You just get to say it. We're the ones that have to hear it. Who thinks sorry? speaking of Saturday Night Live, ratings this weekend for the show with host Benedict Cumberbatch and musical guest Solange were just below the highest ratings of the season. Highest rating for a November telecast, however, since the eve of the presidential election on 2012. So, big numbers for Saturday Night Live, and boy, were those people disappointed they tuned in.
You didn't enjoy Benedict?
Remember last week when I said...
said it was great.
How much better it had gotten?
Yeah.
I take it all back.
Really?
Now. Boy, it fell off a cliff this weekend. Benedict Cumberbatch is great. Great performer, great actor, but they should have written something for him, I think. You know, a scene or
Bean,
a sketch.
Did you love it?
I didn't love it, no. It was definitely hit and miss. Ralph is right. It was not
name
up
me
to
a hit. I know the misses. Can you name me a hit?
I can. Why is Benedict Cumberbatch hot? Was a very funny sketch game show.
So once he established the premise that he was jealous of his looks, you thought that needed another 4 minutes.
I thought it was funny the way it played out. I thought that was good. I didn't hate Solange as much as you did, but
holy crap!
I don't think she was a hit for everybody. That's for sure.
Do yourself a favor. Find it on YouTube and watch it, and you will say, oh, good, Corey Feldman has a job now in choreography.
No.
Watch her.
I did.
The second appearance.
I can't wait.
The second appearance. The first appearance, she just stood there and sang Mediocre. But the second appearance, she sang Mediocre and then went into full Feldman.
Love it.
It was magic in its jaw-droppingness.
That's the song she did, the second one, the Don't Touch My Hair song.
Yeah.
But you're right. She does have a an unusual style of dancing.
If it wasn't for her sister, we wouldn't know she exists. She's, at best, an average R&B singer. Really, that's all. It's nuts. But the dancing was magic. Can we keep going in and out of that song? That'd be fun. Bean, call 911. You're having a stroke.
I will tell you the truth that I got almost no sleep last night.
All right.
And perhaps that's affected me. So,
feel free to call in sick once in a while. We're good. We're good with it. Really. Because you're going to kill us today. We're 8 minutes in.
I like where this is going.
We're taking on water.
It's like surfing.
I like it.
Monday morning, we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise, Doctor Strange came in at number one with $85
million. Oh, my gosh.
That's pretty close to what Kevin's guess was on Friday, by the way, if I remember correctly.
I think we agreed on 75, I think. I said 75, and Kevin said that sound about
right. I said about 80.
Did you?
If I remember correctly,
well,
yeah.
Sure, whatever. Yeah. Take it. It's all yours. Trolls debuted with $45.6 mil. Hacksaw Ridge was $14.8 million, made it number three. So all three new movies debuting were 1, 2, and 3 at the box office. Tyler Perry's Boo, Inferno, was fifth. Then The Accountant, Jack Reacher, Ouija, The Girl on the Train, and Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. We talked about inappropriate Halloween costumes around that time. We were talking about some people offended when people dress up as Native Americans.
Right.
I feel bad for my buddy Mark Paul Gosselaar, because someone confronted him with the fact that Zach Morris dressed up in face paint and a headdress on Saved by the Bell.
A recent episode.
There are no recent episodes,
oh, okay.
Allie. There's just the ones from, what, 20 years ago?
Right.
Really? You need to... Hey, you wore a costume. How do you feel about that? What was he, 12? Anyway, he apologized. He said it was a real I'm sorry moment. Much like it was that Screech was staggering around grunting and throwing a toy tomahawk. So they feel bad for that moment on Saved by the Bell. Is everybody okay now?
That's
that
odd.
You made Zach Morris apologize for a thing that he just was told to do by grown-ups when he was 12, 20 years ago? Sweet Jesus.
How about an apology from Carol O'Connor's estate for those racist things Archie Bunker said, Ralph? Where's
right?
That?
I'm saying he was racist and a farter.
It's true.
Carol O'Connor. Today's celebrity birthdays... John Taffer. Taffy. The Taffinator. Bar Rescue. Bar Rescue. Al, you don't watch Bar Rescue?
I actually do. I think it's fantastic.
You best represent.
No one calls him Taffy.
Taffy.
Nope.
You don't know.
Okay.
He's 62 years old today. Actor Christopher Knight. Peter Brady himself is 59 years old. David Guetta. DJ. He's a DJ. He's a famous DJ.
Oh, David Guetta.
Yeah, him.
Yes.
Yeah. Wicked. 49 years old today. Adam Devine. My doppelganger.
It's your kid.
32 years old today. And singer Lorde is 20. Screw you, Lorde, being all 20 and great. I wasn't great when I was 20. I'll never be great. You're 20 and you're great.
And has been for like 3 years.
Yeah. I pity the fool who's great at 20. I'm Ralph Cameron. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, a little over an hour from right now, all the details you need to know about the K-Rock Almost Christmas 2016. Very excited about that. We also have passes for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them to give away, and Ralph Showbiz Beat, Clippers Mavericks tickets, and so much more. All coming up, Harvey Levin in minutes to On the Way from K-Rock.
First, it's time for...
So that happened.
Some strange stories. This one out of Florida. A Florida woman seeking revenge on her ex-boyfriend was arrested after she tried to set his car on fire.
Ooh.
Her video shows 19-year-old Carmen Chambly feeding the flames inside the trunk. She was pouring stuff on the flames in the trunk and trying to get the car started on fire. And then she left on a bicycle, and the eyewitnesses saw where she went. The police went to her and said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "Setting my ex-boyfriend's car on fire." And they said, "You know what? Not your ex-boyfriend's car."
No.
Wrong car.
Oh.
So that happened.
A woman accused of smearing peanut butter on 30 cars in a bizarre anti-Trump protest said she was just fed up with the election.
Okay.
That's confusing, right?
It is.
A woman in Amherst Junction, Wisconsin, Chelsea Ferguson, has been charged with disorderly conduct. She busted into a Donald Trump supporters group.
Uh-huh.
She was so angry, she had a jar of peanut butter in her hand. And the way that she was going to protest was she went out into the parking lot and she spread peanut butter on the cars.
And that helps how?
And that helps how indeed. Right. So they caught her and the police arrested her and they said, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I'm putting peanut butter on people's cars because I hate this whole Donald Trump thing." And they said, "That's funny because that wasn't a meeting of Donald Trump supporters. That was the members of Tomorrow Environment Conservation meeting."
Oh, no. What's happening?
So that happened.
So she smeared peanut butter all over their cars, which even if they were Donald Trump supporters,
it's still
how
weird.
Effective is that?
Mm-mm. Not much at all. And none of those cars were her boyfriend's car either.
Correct.
I understand.
Here's another one. Mom puts baby boy up for adoption. 22 years later, they realize they're co-workers.
What?
How about that? In October of 1985, Christine Tallady delivered a baby boy, but the young single mom decided it was best to put him up for adoption because she couldn't provide for him. The little boy was adopted, named Steve. When he turned 18, he began looking for his birth mother, and he couldn't find any sign of her. But then he realized, hey, I'm spelling her last name wrong, so I'm going to do a search with the right name. And it was a woman that lived in the same city as him.
Oh, wow.
And then he said, "I wonder if there's anybody here that knows her. Maybe she comes in. Maybe I could contact her that way." So she went to the boss, and she said, "Hey, do you know a person with this name?" And he goes, "Yeah, she's a what do you call it, a clerk.
That office.
Yeah, she checked people out. Yeah, she's a cashier. At the office that he had been working at for 8 months.
Aww.
He'd been working with his mom for 8 months and didn't know it.
Did they date?
And she said, "Oh, it's you."
Right?
And then we laughed for a moment.
You're my mom.
What happened?
I said, "I never knew that you like pina coladas."
And then they dated.
And they're living happily ever after.
No, they dated.
By the way, all of these stories that we do where people get separated at birth and
right.
then end up back together, they always end up somehow doing it. I don't know what that attraction is, but I'm happy to see it. Sounds like this one got cut off before it got to that part.
And here's the strangest story that I have today. Woman farts during surgery and causes hospital fire.
Oh, no.
Here's the news report.
All surgeries are believed to carry some risks. A female patient in Japan is said to have experienced this to an extreme degree when she farted during a procedure, causing a fire to erupt and burn parts of her lower body.
I hate it so much.
How do you hate it so much?
Do you guys believe it?
She's just having surgery. She doesn't know she's burning.
She's not in control. It's not her fault.
That's why I hate it.
By the way, this story happened in April, and they've had this group looking into it, like, what could have caused it?
I'm still confused as to, because it doesn't seem like there would be enough gas to light anything on fire, even if, as I understand, they were using
lasers.
You
have no idea how much gas she had.
Well, that's possible, too.
The Asahi Shimbun is reporting that the accident occurred on April 15th when a woman in her 30s was having her cervix operated on with a laser at Tokyo Medical University Hospital. The news outlet quotes an external review committee's recently released report as concluding that when the patient's intestinal gas leaked into the space of the operation room, it ignited with the irradiation of the laser and the burning spread.
Can you imagine?
No.
Use your fart set the hospital on fire.
Allie,
that's a hell of a thing. That's a fart right there, right?
You're a lady. Why would you use a laser on a cervix? What was she having done, do you think?
Oh, you could have anything burnt out if you have...
tumors or whatever?
Sure, tumors.
I feel like you're focusing on the wrong part of the story.
I'm just...
Because there was a laser there, and her fart right. set the hospital on fire.
Laser plus
why
fart
the
equals
laser
fire
was there
is
unimportant.
Okay, all right.
She set the hospital on fire with a fart! That's fantastic!
Eventually reaching the surgical drape and causing the fire. The group could not otherwise find flammable items in the operating room or problems with the equipment.
I swear to God, we looked at all the equipment. We couldn't find anything. It had to be her ass.
The patient reportedly suffered serious burns along her waist and legs.
I hate it.
So that happened. Hey, 7:15 this morning, all the details you need to know about the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. We are very close, you guys, very close. Monday morning means Harvey Levin on the line from TMZ.com. Hey, Harvey, how are you, my friend?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good.
Want to ask you about something first. We got a bunch of emails from listeners last week that were watching you on the People's Court, and I don't remember what the case was, and I'm hoping that you...
Sure, I won't either.
Well, I think you were interviewing the person after the case and asked them a question, and their response was, "I like turtles." Sound familiar?
No.
They saw it on the People's Court.
I know. It's just... I do like 45 cases, that, you know, standing there in a day. So it all kind of blurs. I vaguely remember that.
And you have no idea what parts they're going to use. They edit that stuff up and everything else.
No. It's all done to time. I mean, it's everything there happens. Oh, yeah.
How about that?
We're not very discriminating.
All right. Well, I wondered if you had known about that. But I want you to know you got a lot of fans in our audience who are enjoying you on the People's Court. So there you go.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about what's new at TMZ.com. You seem to be all over this Mariah Carey prenup story, and it does get crazy the more you write about it, doesn't it?
I cannot believe this thing. So he desperately wanted to marry her on March 1st. And they couldn't even legally get married because Nick hadn't signed the divorce papers, but he wanted a commitment ceremony in Bora Bora. They bought her dress, flowers, guests, jets, everything.
Wow.
And the lawyer said, "Hold on, James. You got to have a prenup with her." And they presented a 100-page prenup that we have seen, and it is insane.
He's a billionaire?
Pardon me?
He's a billionaire?
Oh, he's a billionaire.
Yeah, okay.
So here, let me give you a couple of examples because it's great. So with the exception of engagement presents and wedding presents, any jewelry that he gives her costing more than $250,000 is only a gift if the jewelry is accompanied by a note saying, "This is a gift."
Oh, my God. How romantic.
Wow.
Wow.
Otherwise, it's just assumed it's a loaner?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I swear to God, it's in there. And it just goes on. I mean, it's like she's a mail-order bride almost. I mean, she gets a credit card with a certain limit. She can use his private jet, but he gets to choose which one, and he has final say on whether he gets it or not. There are limits on the clothing she can buy, and it just goes on and on and on. And
doesn't she have enough money to do whatever she wants?
Yeah.
Well, presumably.
Yeah.
But then in addition, she was supposed to get $6 million for every year they get married if they get divorced, and that's it from him, unless they're married for, I think it was for more than 5 years, and then she gets $30 million, and that's the cap. But she wanted $50 million. And they started squabbling, going back and forth. The lawyers were going back and forth, and obviously it never got signed. And now she still wants $50 million from him.
That is unbelievable. Look,
wow.
You're a lawyer, Harvey, and you would probably advise friends of or clients of yours to get a prenup, right? That's not the problem here, right? The problem is the numbers that they're talking about, right?
Well, it's not just the numbers, though. It's just like the accompanied by a note is just the best thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's pretty strong.
very funny.
You're basically saying we both know you're crazy, so let's put it down in writing.
Not far from the truth.
Yeah.
Well, all right, we're on the line with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. Moving on, very sad to see Brad and Angelina haven't been able to figure out a way to negotiate whatever the next phase of their relationship is going forward without it starting to look like it might be getting a little bit ugly, Harvey?
Well, I got to tell you, somebody from her camp told me yesterday that this is turning into a War of the Roses.
Oh, no.
And, you know, it obviously has to do with the kids, and she has already asked for primary custody with visitation going to Brad. He just filed documents that we got on Friday saying he wants joint custody. So that sets up the conflict. He wants to be a present parent as much as her, And she's saying, until he gets his blank together, as it was put to me, that she does not only doesn't want him to have joint custody, she wants him to have only monitored visitation. So they are in a squabble. Department of Children and Family Services is still investigating this whole airplane thing with Maddox, and it is a complete mess.
That's ugly.
Harvey, when you've seen these kinds of celebrity cases where they have the monitored visits, who's the person? Is it a person that Angelina picks? Is it somebody Brad picks? Is it somebody that's that the court decides who is there with them? And how does that work?
Well, in this case, they agreed. The Department of Children and Family Services wanted some kind of a temporary arrangement while they investigate. So the arrangement right now is that she does have primary physical custody, and he does have monitored visitation. And the monitor is a therapist, and it's a therapist who's been handling the family. So that was kind of agreed upon by both of them, but with an oversight by the Department of Children and Family Services. So it really just depends. But ultimately, a judge is going to have to make the decision if he says no. And
nothing says a fun time with a dad and his kids like having the therapist come along.
Right? This thing is, it really is a mess.
It's sad because we all admire both of them so much. You hate to see them going through the turmoil, and obviously you feel so bad for all the kids. All right, real quick before we let you go, Harvey, this $500,000 New Year's Eve package with Justin Bieber. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it, even though we live in an era where there are lots of high money values out there at various concerts and stuff. I've never seen a deal like this.
Well, I haven't either. And, it's really crazy. He's going to be in Miami. So the deal is you can have nine of your closest friends, five nights stay at the Fontainebleau penthouse. You get a yacht, you get a Lambo, you get a Ferrari and a Rolls, you get a private escort to Skrillex's set at Live Nightclub, and on and on and on. I mean, you get $7,000 bottles of champagne. The weird thing to me about this whole thing is that doesn't seem like Justin Bieber's audience, somebody with $500K to blow.
Well, no, I assume that they would do that for their daughter. You know what I mean?
God, what an idiot
Maybe
I am.
A parent. I don't know.
Harvey's like, how are these 12-year-olds affording this?
No, you know what? God, I feel so stupid. Oh. Thanks a lot, guys. No, you're right. You're totally right. I don't know why that just went right over my head.
Kevin, tell Harvey what your first reaction was when you saw the story about the offer on TMZ.
There won't be 2 seconds between when Justin Bieber meets that person and when he ditches them.
Yeah.
There's right? No way he hangs with that person. Right? He's just a douchebag. Am I right?
Well, look, I mean, in fairness to him, I don't know if you saw, we put this post up over the weekend. He was in Toronto at a bar called the Fifth Pub House. And he just got up, walked over to the Baby Grand. He played five songs for the, and they comped him a drink. So he can be very cool. And he can be very abrupt. You just don't know which Biebs you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. All right, TMZ throughout the day on Channel 11. Of course, TMZ Live airs Monday through Friday at 4 as well. TMZ Sports airs Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. And don't forget, get your tickets for the TMZ Tour at the website of recordtmz.com. Harvey Levin, we enjoyed it, sir. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
See you guys.
7:15 this morning. We've got all the details for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. We'll tell you when. We'll tell you where. We'll tell you all the bands. 7:15.
Wow.
Right?
Wow. Steven Seagal is a name we don't talk about very often anymore. But back in the 1990s, he was a huge action star. Kevin, I'd be willing to bet anything that you saw Hard to Kill in a theater. You saw Under Siege. You saw On Deadly Ground.
I don't know.
Above the Law.
I don't think so. Not that I have that great of a memory. But these movies are terrible. And he's terrible. He's a horrible actor.
But he was enormously popular. And by the way, he was a huge box office star in America, and apparently in other places in the world, he still is a big box office star. He still does have...
Wait, are we still talking about Steven Seagal?
Steven Seagal, yes. In fact, Kevin Bean correspondent Doto was out on the street recently asking people about their affection for Steven Seagal.
Quick question. Have you ever watched the movie Steven Seagal before, Hard to Kill, back in 1990?
No.
And are you a fan of Steven Seagal?
Not really. No.
Because he doesn't play a lot of movies these days,
Yeah, that's true.
Because I know that back in the 80s and 90s, he was pretty active, man.
Right. I'm going to take your word for it.
Thank you very much.
All right, so he got to the bottom of it then. But now Steven Seagal is back in the news again for a completely different reason. Kevin, what's going on?
He is now a citizen of Russia. The president, Vladimir Putin, said, you know what? Yes, you can be a citizen of Russia.
So
they're longtime friends, those two.
No more with America. Yes, with the Russia.
I guess.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if he's given up on America and is only Russian now, but we should talk to him since he's on hold.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Hey, Stephen.
Good morning. How are you?
We are good.
How are you?
I am the greatest martial artist that's ever been.
Well,
I'm not sure that's true.
It is true.
Okay.
More so than Bruce Lee?
Now I am a citizen of Russia.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Okay.
Now, have you turned your back on America, or are you
turned my back on America.
You have, okay.
I have no connection anymore with the American ways. It is not spiritually fulfilling enough for me.
I see.
And that's why I am now with my good friend Vladimir Putin. I am a citizen of Russia.
Uh-huh.
And it is much more fulfilling for me. The country is light years ahead of any other country.
In what?
In all ways.
That is a what surprise about food? To me. Yeah, what about food?
Except for maybe food.
Because food, lines see, there's a lag. Yeah.
Oh, and toilet paper. Don't forget toilet paper.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But Vladimir and I are very close friends.
Right.
And, of course, I am a master in Aikido.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He is a master in Judo.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you two fight? Do you spar?
We do. Mm-hmm. We do spar. Sometimes we spar with bears.
Right.
Because we like to take on a challenge. Vladimir just recently battled a 1,200-pound black bear. Uh-huh.
That seems very dangerous.
It is not dangerous. He's a master of judo.
Uh-huh. Right.
And he defeated the bear and then mated with the bear.
Is that right?
Wait. Yeah. After you defeat the bear, you have sex with him?
To the victor goes the spoils.
I did not know.
As my old Chichimoro sensei used to say.
Now, I didn't see.
First, you beat the bear.
Right. And then?
Then you bone the bear.
Okay. Now, I didn't see any pictures or video of the fight with the bear, but did Vladimir Putin, was he in that fight with no shirt on?
What?
Was he in that fight with no shirt on, was the question.
Of course he had no shirt on.
Okay, because he seems like he all the time is riding horses.
No martial artist in his right mind would battle a bear with a shirt on.
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't know.
That's very true.
I don't know how it works, I'm sorry.
The grabs the shirt.
Right.
And then, next thing you know, he's got you by the shirt.
Right.
Such
so Russia,
such are the ways of karate.
Karate, right.
Right.
Kung fu.
Kung fu. Oh,
what just happened?
I hit a brick with my hand.
Okay. Why? Right. Why? We're not asking you to demonstrate anything. Plus, we're on the phone. We can't see it.
Anytime I hear kung fu, it makes me
I see.
Break something.
Okay.
Yeah! Ow! God damn it!
What's going on?
What happened?
Son of a bitch! I shattered that brick.
Oh, sure you did.
I did. You couldn't see it, but it was now in very small pieces.
Really? Because it sounded like you got hurt. It sounded like the brick won that round.
Yeah.
Swelling up.
You seem injured.
Swelling.
All right.
Vladimir, any ice?
Oh, you're there with him now?
Of course I'm here with him now.
Okay.
We are very close friends.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Together. Did I mention the bear?
you did.
And then... Ow! Come on!
No one's asking you to do that. I mean, you don't have to hit things.
Yeah, my other hand is in much distress.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute.
What's going on?
What's that?
As you know, I'm a practicing Buddhist as well.
All right, and that's...
It's a Dalai Lama.
Oh, man.
Come on.
6.7, K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52.
Minutes away from all the details for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. We'll have that for you at 7:15 this morning.
Oh!
So many exciting days this week. We got Acoustic Christmas today. Tomorrow's your election day. We've been looking forward to that for a long time.
Woohoo!
Thursday is Edmund Fitzgerald Day, our annual tribute to the wreck. Friday is Veterans Day. This feels like a holiday week, doesn't it? So much happening.
Right. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Speaking of the election, I thought it was hilarious. I don't know if you've seen the results of this scientific survey that they did. But they compared the attitudes of Americans, across the board, generally Americans, from January 2016 to this week. And they asked the favorability ratings of each candidate. Donald Trump had a people thought of him positively in January of 2016.
Okay.
The percent of people who had a very positive opinion of Donald Trump was 29%.
Okay.
This week, they took a poll, and the amount of people who had a very positive opinion of Donald Trump was 29%.
Hmm.
Then in January 2016, they asked, what did you think of Hillary Clinton? Positivity rating, 40%. This week, 40%. So the whole past year that we've been hearing all these campaigns and the debates and everything, not one thing has changed. Not one thing.
Are we sure they polled anyone?
They did. They polled.
They just say, use the results from the last one.
How satisfied would you be if Donald Trump became president? I think it was like 31% said very satisfied.
Wow.
In January. This week, 30% said very satisfied.
So a waste of our whole year.
All that money, all that time, nobody's opinion changed one bit.
Wow.
Why did we go through that?
That's a great question, Ralph. And is there some reason why we can't do what they do in Britain and other countries where we say, okay, nobody starts campaigning until X number of months before the election.
Oh, that would be so
great.
6 months,
you got X number of dollars to spend, can't spend any more, go.
Right.
Oh, would that be a sweet relief? So you wouldn't have people campaigning for 4 years.
Yep. Right.
It's madness. But at least all of our problems will be solved on Wednesday.
Right.
Everybody's going to calm down. Everybody's going to get along.
No matter who gets elected, it's all in unity. Yeah.
Because we're all
Americans. We're all Americans.
That's right. Right.
Wrong.
Let me give you something everybody can agree on. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, right?
Can't wait.
First of all, we all love Fantastic Beasts. Mm-hmm. But often, you're left in a quandary.
Yeah.
Where are those Fantastic Beasts?
They're not easy to find.
They are not. And this movie will give you everything you know, not only about the Fantastic Beasts, but also where they can be located. If you'd like to see this film, why wouldn't you? What a cast. Eddie Redmayne, of course, Ezra Miller, Colin Farrell, Catherine Waterston. She's beautiful. Give me a call, 1-800-520-1067. I am giving away passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, November 15th at the Arclight Hollywood. Hard-pressed to find a better place to see a movie, by the way, than the Arclight Hollywood. If you'd like to go and see it before everybody else gets to see it on the 18th when it hits theaters, why don't you call me now, 1-800-520-1067. First five callers through at that particular phone number get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It seems like we just live in an Eddie Redmayne, Benedict Cumberbatch, who's the third one? Who's Tom Hiddleston world?
Yeah,
like those three Brits just own cinema right now.
It is strange how many movies
and
so
Kevin
few
James,
people
and Kevin
Kevin
James,
James
he's
right.
The,
the big four,
who owns,
the Mount Rushmore,
who owns cinema. But those guys, and the minute you cast one of them in a role, it immediately elevates your project and makes it cooler, hipper, and of higher quality.
Yeah, but when was the last time Benedict Cumberbatch had anything approaching a hit at the box office, Ralph?
Well, let's take a look and see if that shows up in this week's box office list. Oh, Doctor Strange, starring Benedict Cumberbatch, grossed $85 million this week.
But before that.
All the other movies he made.
Yeah.
$85 million was number one with Doctor Strange. Trolls debuted to $45.6 million. That's a lot of money for some animated trolls. Hacksaw Ridge debuted with $14.8 million. Tyler Perry's Boo in Medea Halloween was fourth. Inferno was fifth. The Accountant came in at number six. Jack Reacher, Never Go Back, was seventh. Ouija, Origin of Evil, The Girl on the Train, and Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children were your top 10 movies at the box office. Oh, it is on. It is on like Donkey Kong.
What's on?
The cat fight between Blac Chyna and Wendy Williams.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on!
I don't...
Race war!
I don't believe it's a race war.
Race war's
at all.
On, everybody!
No,
it's going down! It's going down! Race war. Come on. Race war.
New. It's just Blac Chyna versus Wendy Williams.
Okay.
How you doing? Wendy is very opinionated.
Really?
Yes. And she stated on her show last Friday that Rob Kardashian, of course, the betrothed of Blac Chyna, was thinner, smarter, and more confident before he hooked up with Blac Chyna. Well, that did not sit well with Blac. She sounded off on Instagram saying, and here are my favorite quotes, Wendy Williams is a 400-pound ass bitch on the radio. She sounds like she hit the pipe backstage. And your horse face woke up on the wrong side of the stable. So I think she's okay with it.
Yeah, she seems fine.
That she's fine.
Wendy Williams audience.
How you doing? How you doing? How you doing?
Remix. Yeah, it's her show's still in the air, by the way.
It is.
Yeah.
Dr. Drew was on it Thursday or Friday of last week.
Did he say,
how you doing?
I don't think I can go for that, by the way. Whoa. No can do. I'm just saying. I don't want him on that show.
Right.
Doesn't
they
better?
Seem very chummy.
How they you doing?
It was a lot of mutual love and respect.
Dr. Drew, how you doing?
And while her show is still on the air, there's another show that's unwatchable that is no longer watchable because it's been canceled.
Okay.
Bill Simmons' show, Any Given Wednesday on HBO has been canceled after 17 episodes.
Oof.
Yeah.
Woof.
It was bad. It was bad in a big, bad way. And even HBO, who doesn't give a rat's ass about ratings, said, Phil, come on.
He never was very comfortable in the role of an interviewer, was he?
Maybe they should have considered that before they gave my talk show interview show on television. Yeah.
But I was surprised it didn't work because his podcast is oftentimes very good.
I don't watch the podcast.
Says that lady.
Just saying, like on TV, he's so uncomfortable in his own skin.
It just
made me so uncomfortable. I loved him on Grantland. With Grantland, I think he's a great writer. I love
great
his
writer.
Podcast. And then watching him, I was nervous. Not good.
Yeah.
I'm okay seeing it on.
Great guest, too.
He had drunk Ben Affleck. That was fun.
He did have
sure.
What is the flagget?
So sweaty.
Affleck went full Kevin on this show.
How dare you.
But the ratings dropped, for example, I'll give you a hint. Second week of the show, 362,000 people tuned in. October 29th show. 82,000 viewers.
Oh, that's fewer. So. That is not as many.
People say, I don't think that
thanks, Mr. Math.
Will happen.
Oh, that's too bad.
Ridiculous smear campaign.
This is snook and friend.
The ticket is the ultimate bull.
This is ultimate
outrage of sports ever. It's so f***ing stupid.
It's ridiculous. Ridiculous campaign.
I talk to f***ing football players across the board. They think it's bull.
I talk to all football players. I talk to everyone. It's a ridiculous campaign.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lord.
Come
Lord.
On. Right?
Yeah,
right.
She's impressive.
Love her.
She's 20 years old today. Adam Devine is 32 years old. David Guetta, DJ, 49 years old. Christopher Knight, Peter Brady himself. Is 59.
Is he the one, Ralph, who was married to the America's Next Top Model winner?
He was. And her name
Adrian
is
something
Adrian
Spence.
Palicki. No,
yes.
No. Adrian Lima. No. Adrian Balboa. Adrian Curry. Curry.
Curry it is.
Curry. Curry.
What do you
final
say?
Final answer. Right? Curry. Final answer.
Ralph gets the point.
All right. And TV show host John Taffer. Host of Bar Rescue.
Taffy!
As he's known around the water cooler. He is 62 years old today. Are there still water coolers?
Nope.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A couple minutes to all the details for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Keep listening for those.
You guys were mocking me earlier because I seem to be having a little trouble with making the words and the sentences.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You got to remember what I'm coming off of this weekend.
Which is what?
The busiest weekend of the year for me, where I'm on full time.
Oh, daylight savings, sure.
The end of daylight saving, no S, and right. The start of standard time.
Here's the thing. Most people, it really takes something to get them riled up, something mm-hmm. important. Like, most people don't take action unless it's huge.
Global right. warming.
Right.
The
right.
threat of nuclear war.
It's a huge mm-hmm. issue to you, so that moves you to take action.
Right.
Look.
Bean
gotta,
is the opposite.
You got to take a stand when something
the
is
smaller,
important.
The better for him.
Yeah. How dare you? How dare
the more
you?
Meaningless, the more meaningful.
Right. Exactly.
Look, before you guys dump all over me and mock me, because I was a little more active than usual on the social media this weekend.
Were
because
you?
There was a
poor Chip, who is tasked with having to go through each of Bean's tweets and to jot down the particularly awful ones. They're all awful, but some are more awful than others. Was busy all weekend just combing through these.
So there was a lot of chatter this weekend. It was like Al Qaeda chatter out there, but it was people incorrectly saying daylight savings.
Nothing like
saving time.
Al Qaeda
very much
chatter.
Like that.
Nothing
and,
like
that. And
so
very
Bean gets
similar.
Upset that they don't say daylight saving.
Well, because it.
Because
it's a thing that has a name.
Right, but how important can that be?
Because it's not arbitrary.
But
because it's not just something you can willy-nilly just decide how you want to say it.
How important could that possibly be?
Or, God forbid, they use the wrong word and then they say that daylight savings time is starting this weekend instead of ending in daylight standard time. Oh, dear Lord, it's an apocalypse.
So we bring you
daylight savings tweet.
F you, Omar. It's not a difficult concept to get straight. And look, my complaints are...
We don't care.
No, but listen.
No, but we don't care.
Journalism. That's my complaint.
Oh, it's not just journalism. Trust me.
It is journalism.
Listen, you goddamn liar. I'm going to read a bunch of your tweets, and we're going to see very much so it is not just journalism.
All right, what do you got?
Facebook, it's daylight saving time ending this weekend. Not savings. Go ahead and correct that. Kay, thanks, bye.
Okay, now Facebook.
Right? Facebook. It's not just the message, it's the delivery.
It's the tone.
Facebook has millions and millions of subscribers.
We all are familiar with Facebook.
My point is...
We know your point.
It would make a big difference if they would, I don't know, check it before they post it.
Facebook.
Daylight savings tweet.
Bean. Powerhouse journalism outlet Facebook, Bean? Is that
yes.
one of the journalists you've been talking about?
If you don't think most people get their news from Facebook, then you don't know how Facebook is being used.
Do you think Facebook is journalism?
I think in this case,
do you think Facebook is journalism?
They're disseminating information that people are taking as fact, and they're wrong.
Hey, Scott Pelley. You're my favorite anchor by far, but should know it's daylight saving, not savings time that ends this weekend. Thank you.
Ugh. Who's Scott Pelley?
He's the anchor of the CBS Evening News.
Oh, all right.
And he's
your
his favorite anchor by
he's
far.
Should have known that.
Of all the anchors.
Right.
How disappointed you must have been in Scott Pelley.
I DVR his newscast every night.
Wow.
There's so many layers to your badness.
Who's Randy Rousseau?
Name doesn't sound familiar.
No. You know
what? Oh, no. I take it back. Randy Rousseau is a newscaster on Channel 6 here in New Orleans.
Hi, Randy. I like your station's newscasts, but spread the word. It's daylight saving time that's ending, not savings. True.
Do you think that Randy then popped up from her desk and said, oh, you guys, spread the word. Just got
absolutely.
This tweet.
Yes.
Just got this very informative tweet.
All right, here's what I
blew a ram's horn on a mountain, and then there was a runner that went from village to village.
Here's what I will say. If I were on television saying something wrong and I got the word that it was wrong, I would be grateful for that news and would correct it.
Okay, but Bean, let me ask you a question. How many people do you think are correcting the three that you've done so far? How many people do you think are correcting them, or is it just you?
Oh, I wouldn't have any way of knowing.
I would. It's just you.
Okay.
Yeah. But Kevin, he's not just...
You're the only one.
Bean is not just using the stick. He's also being the carrot. He was rewarding people who did good work this
right?
weekend. Yes! Not just punishing the evil, but also rewarding the good, Kevin.
I love it so
there's
much.
The other side.
Sure.
Another reason Amber Lee is the best. Using saving, not savings, and understands it's ending, not starting this weekend. Hashtag hero.
Now you guys can't have any complaints about that, right?
Well, I mean, hashtag hero.
Yeah. You might want to look up the definition of the
really?
Word.
Thanks for that.
Daylight savings tweet.
Bean!
And then, of course, there were the battles. There were the Twitter beefs.
Uh-oh.
That went back and forth between Bean and others.
Oh no.
Sorry.
You lose your place?
No, I didn't want to put the wrong filter on.
Okay.
Nope. Leave that alone, Omar. Oh, know what I'm doing.
My bad.
C-Pod wrote, at Clyde Tombaugh, language constantly evolves. That's why we have words like adorbs now. If the general population stubbornly says savings, let it go.
Yeah, that's true. And, so, and most of the time, they will change it.
That might be a solid argument if this wasn't a thing with a proper name codified by Congress, not just a figure of speech.
Boom! It's been mic drop.
Codified by mother effing drop.
There's
codified
no mic drop
by Congress.
There. Hope that guy deleted his Twitter account after
I'm
that
sick
burn.
I'm sure he did. Then Logo TV tweeted, "It's daylight savings time, so snap out of it, channel your inner Cher, and don't forget to turn back time tonight at 2 a.m." Look, a cheesy as F
yes.
tweet, right? Oh, that would not stand.
Logo TV. No, it's the end of daylight saving, not savings time. We're on standard time now. Otherwise, solid share joke.
Thanks for that.
Daylight savings tweet.
Journalistic powerhouse solid, Logo TV.
Solid share joke.
Yeah. True TV tweeted, daylight savings time ending is great because you get an extra hour and your microwave clock will be right for the first time since March.
Hey.
True TV, it's correctly daylight saving, not savings time. Time that is ending, but otherwise, your tweet is spot on. Thanks for that.
Daylight savings tweet.
Like I said, I had a busy weekend, you guys.
And then lastly, the battles. Oh, the things, the journalists he was coming at.
I love it.
Like the Ottawa, Ontario Catholic School Board. Those journalists.
How do you find them to complain about?
The Ottawa, Ontario Catholic School Board.
Sweet Jesus. Do you follow them?
I don't.
On Twitter.
But they better step off now.
Ottawa Catholic School Board. Hey, guys. Ask God and he'll tell you it's saving, not savings, and it's now over. We're on standard time.
Oh, Bean.
Man.
Then to Pez Candy. You heard me. Pez Candy. The dispenser where you put the head back and the candy comes out of the neck.
Right.
Hi, Pez. Love your candy, but it's actually the end of daylight saving, not savings time this weekend. No S at the end. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, f*** you.
And then lastly,
to the Ellen Show. You mean happy standard time, Ellen. It was daylight saving time, not savings time that ended. Dance to that.
I gotta be honest, that's the mic drop right there.
Oh my lord.
Daylight savings tweet.
K-Rock almost too good to Christmas 2016. Details next. And it's as close to 7:15 as we can get.
Is it time? Is it time?
Yes, it is time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me what's going on, dude.
Life is too short to last.
Acoustic Christmas 2016, night one.
Saturday, December 10th at the Forum.
It's gonna be the best Christmas ever.
Blink 182.
And my girlfriend. Nobody likes you when you're 23. I'm in love with a girl who can watch you.
If you're listening, whoa.
Jimmy World.
Take some time, little girl.
Ex Ambassadors.
Christmas time. Well, here's something for you to smile about.
M83.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
You having a good holiday festival, Los Angeles?
AFI. Group Love. The Strumbellas. And Kings of Leon. Almost
Christmas 2016, night one.
Tickets go on sale Friday at noon exclusively to K-Rock Street Team members. Go to K-Rock.com.
Proceeds benefit Para Los Niños.
That's just night one.
Whoa.
That's insane.
That's the first night.
Whoa.
Look, I'm always impressed by these shows, and this is these shows. And what is this? The 27th year we've been doing this thing, Acoustic Christmas. But that is an unbelievable lineup for night number one, Blink 182, Kings. What?
This is huge. Yeah. Sorry, I'm freaking out a little bit.
Blink 182, Kings of Leon, Jimmy Eat World, AFI, X Ambassadors, M83, Group Love, who are so much fun, by the way, and the Strumbellas, all on one night. Tickets go. Can I say the ticket stuff? Have we done
yes.
that yet? Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. K-Rock Street Team members only, please. You know how that works by now. It takes like 30 seconds to sign up to get the password ahead of time. And noon Friday is when they go on sale. And that's just night one. What else you got?
Night two, completely different.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Sunday, December 11th, The Forum.
Night two.
Welcome to
Green Day. Back.
I'm a loser, baby. Bastille.
Cause it almost feel like nothing changed. Not every minute, every hour.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Bishop Briggs.
Especially at Christmas.
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness.
Weezer.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, night two.
Tickets go on sale Friday at noon exclusively to K-Rock Street Team members. Go to K-Rock.com.
Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center.
It's another one of those lineups where all you need is Green Day. Oh, wait. All you need is Beck. Oh, wait. If Weezer were only the only band there, it would be enough. Wait. Same deal for Bastille. It just goes on and on and on. An unbelievable lineup for night number two, including Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, Fantagram, Bishop Briggs, The Head and the Heart. Completely different night than night number one for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. You are listening to the Kevin Bean Show. We are announcing this for the first time anywhere. All the details are up at krock.com. Tickets are going on sale this Friday at noon for Street Team members, as we mentioned. Kevin, who are the charities this year?
Let me just say real quick about the Street Team member. You do have to be a Street Team member to get a password. If you don't have that password, you're not going to be able to buy tickets Friday at noon. So make sure that you have that. The charities are Para Los Niños and Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center.
Who do great work in the community. We've been working hand-in-hand with them for many, many years, and they do excellent stuff. So that's where the money goes from the proceeds of the ticket that you will buy. And it's gonna be a hell of a weekend, you guys.
Sure is. It's going to be fun. Here it goes again.
Life is too short to last.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, night one.
Saturday, December 10th, The Forum.
It's going to be the best Christmas ever.
Blink 182.
Girlfriend, your body likes you when you're 23.
Give you the sentence.
Whoa,
Jimmy Eat World.
Take some time, little girl.
Ex Ambassadors.
Smile, it's Christmas time. Well, here's something for you to smile about.
M83.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
You having a good holiday festival, Los Angeles?
AFI. Group Love. The Strumbellas.
And
Kings of Leon. Acoustic Christmas 2016, night one.
Tickets go on sale Friday at noon exclusively to K-Rock Street Team members. Go to krock.com.
Proceeds benefit Para Los Niños.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Sunday, December 11th, The Forum.
Night two.
Welcome to
Green Day.
Hey, hey, hey.
Just woke up. You just missed it. The announcement of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 lineup Saturday and
Sunday. We're never going to tell you again.
Mm-mm.
Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Forum. Tickets are on sale this Friday at noon. You can get all the details at krock.com. Was there 1 year, Kevin, that we put the tickets on sale and did not do the announcement?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Was that a good idea or a bad idea?
It went well. People bought them anyway because it's a, you know, we usually
always
put on a pretty
show.
Good show, yeah.
Well, this is unbelievable this time around with Blink-182 and Kings of Leon and Jimmy Eat World and Green Day and Beck and Weezer and Bastille and so much more. Get all those details at krock.com. Right now, though, on the line, our good friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Up to the Minute on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone. Mr. Siciliano, how are you feeling, sir?
Good morning, guys. I feel estupendous. How are you?
Doing great, sir. I hope we'll see you at Acoustic Christmas this year. I always enjoy to get a little in-person FaceTime. That's always fun. You've been following football for a long time, doing the Red Zone for a number of years now. When was the last time you saw a squirrel on the field of play?
You know, every now and then I think we see a squirrel. Like maybe every couple of years. Honestly, I think the squirrels, when we're not looking, are there anyway.
You think so?
I think the squirrels sneak behind their back and they have fun in the end zone when maybe we're on the other end of the field.
I gotta tell you, your excitement. Over that squirrel. It was impressive.
I saw your tweet after this show. I got excited. For those who don't know, there's a squirrel on the field at Lambeau in Green Bay.
And Andrew's yelling, there's a squirrel on the field at Lambeau!
We had three games on the screen at once. And then all three games, when we have multiple games on the screen, we can't have the play-by-play for all three games up at once. I mean, they'd all be yelling over each other, and your head would...
So you cut them all off so you could do the squirrel announcement.
All three by myself, and I'm saying, I think, you know, here's Phillip Rivers, the Chargers are in the red zone. You know, what's-his-face is in the backfield, Melvin Gordon at second and eight. And then all of a sudden I look up and there's the squirrel, and I started yelling, and there's a squirrel at Lambeau!
You were so excited about that squirrel.
I was excited because he was getting in the end zone more than the Packers, and then he ran out of the end zone and under kind of the padding against the wall there. And they had a huge net. I mean, it was like something out of a Looney Tunes.
Yeah, but then I found it weird because then you started trying to talk to the people who were getting the squirrel. You're like, hey, don't hurt the squirrel. The squirrel's fine.
Yeah.
I was like,
what?
Does Andrew know that they can't hear him?
No, I don't know that, first of all. Second of all, I mean, we all talk back to our TV. Especially
you just do it on TV.
You're on TV talking to other people.
Right. But why did they have to catch the squirrel? Like, what was the squirrel going to do?
Well,
leave the squirrel be.
I think it's a distraction for players on the field. I can understand why they'd want to take it out of the field of play.
Is that code?
I guess.
Okay. All right. Moving on. Is it getting embarrassing for Coach Fisher now to be now at a game where the crowd is chanting for them to put in Jared Goff?
He says he didn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, and I don't doubt that he didn't hear it. You are so... while on the sideline, especially if you're wearing headsets
right.
to communicate with the people upstairs, you are hyper focused on what's on the field in front of you. I do believe him when he says that.
But Case Keenum is this true, the lowest quarterback rating in the league right now?
Yeah. So I think about this.
Okay.
I do think, by the way, and this is not a radical opinion, I'm with you, I think Goff needs his shot by now. I think yesterday was a missed opportunity in that in the fourth quarter they had the perfect chance. Hypothetically, you could have put Goff in when you're down 10 to nothing and given him a shot. And if he marched the team up and down the field a couple of times, and perhaps the Rams would rally and win the game, then bam, you have your answer. It's Jared Goff's team. He's ready. if he maybe didn't do well, maybe threw a pick, maybe got him into field goal range, but really there was no discernible difference between the two,
right?
Then you had the ability to say, listen, we showed you here. We gave Jared a taste. We got his feet wet. He's not ready. Keenum was pulled because, much like a pitcher having a bad day, we decided to pull him. We're going to stick with him. But, you know, it's a step for Jared. Mm-hmm. They had that chance yesterday, and I think it would have been great if they had given him that chance.
I feel like there were a lot of receivers dropping a lot of passes, though, that were thrown well.
Lance Kendrick dropped a would-be touchdown pass in the fourth.
Yeah, I don't put that on Keenum.
It hit him in the numbers. He's a second-round pick in his sixth year. That is a catch you have to make. He knows that. I'm not ripping him. He knows that, and he said it after the game as well. But perhaps the game's different if he catches that pass. He did not.
All right. Meanwhile, for Raiders fans, and we hear from them a lot, more this year than ever, their team could not have looked any better on television last night. Could they, Andrew?
No, they were awesome. That was a huge stage for them as well. They hadn't had a Sunday night game in over like a decade or something. We, NFL Network, had their game in December last year when Charles Woodson retired. That was a Friday. That was a big deal. But this was a bigger deal. That was about Charles Woodson. This was about them. And they are in first, guys. They are one of only three teams in the NFL, the Patriots, the Cowboys, the other two, that have seven wins.
They're in first, and they firmly deserve it. They're playing really well.
They firmly deserve it. And as much as everyone says that was a test for the Raiders, that was also a test for the Broncos. The Raiders have the better quarterback than the Broncos. The Broncos clearly have the better defense than the Raiders, but that Bronco defense was banged up a little bit last night. The Raiders took it to them. The Raiders are a force to be reckoned with. I am still concerned with their defense and whether or not it could actually stop a very good offense in a shootout. I don't think it can, but who cares? They've won 7 of 9 games, and if the playoffs were to start today, half the playoffs in the AFC would be the AFC West, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chiefs.
I don't know if this is a dumb question or not, and that's the voice of our friend Andrew Siciliano on the phone of the Kevin. Did he say, of course it
yes,
is?
Yes, he did.
I kid.
The Raiders turn out to continue to be great this year and get deep into the playoffs, is that going to complicate them moving to Las Vegas? Because now a lot of people will really care that they're leaving.
I think a lot of people care regardless. I'm sure the Raider fans in their car right now listening will tell you they will care regardless and follow them wherever they are. I asked the same question last week of somebody up there, and they said, no, it doesn't matter. Money's not going to appear out of thin air to build a stadium in Oakland. That isn't going to happen. I think the biggest issue is whether or not league owners will support putting a team in Vegas. Right now, I think there's more support than there's ever been, but I don't think there's enough support for that to happen.
What could go wrong with NFL players in Vegas?
Right? it's so much deeper than that. I don't personally, this is me speaking personally, Raider fans will hop on a plane and fly anywhere.
Right.
If you go to Burbank on Sunday morning at 8 a.m., there's a line of people getting on Southwest, or LAX for that matter, to fly up to Oakland. It's the same flight from Burbank to Oakland
right.
as it is Burbank to Vegas.
True.
The same flight. So they're still going to get on the plane. I'm concerned with whatever team you put in Vegas that there's enough local support. It's a 24-hour town. You know, there's always people working around the clock, and these people are going to spend their extra money on expensive football tickets. I don't see it. And if you think, and again, this is my opinion only, if you think casinos are going to reward their high rollers by handing them tickets to football games, why would I ever want my high rollers out of my building where they could be gambling? Hey, leave for 6 hours.
Yeah, true.
I mean, okay. Jim Fossil, the former Giants head coach, remember there used to be a league called the UFL, right? Mm-hmm. And they had a team in Vegas, and they had real players and real coaches. And when he first got there, he's told this story. He sat down with big casino executives, and they said, hey, guys, just give your clients some tickets. Here are the free tickets. And they looked at him and said the exact same thing. We don't want these people to leave our casinos.
Interesting.
Why would we ever want that?
Interesting. All right, final 30 seconds, Andrew. Every once in a while, a couple times a season, something happens that's so spectacularly bad that you know it's going to be in the low light reel forever, like the butt fumble. And that happened to the Steelers yesterday. You know exactly what I'm going to ask you about.
Yeah.
Chris Boswell, how did it play out on your show?
Okay, so I just called it the worst onside kick I've ever seen in my entire life. He kind of tried to ballerina the back tap thing Look, other kickers have done this, and when it works, it looks beautiful. You run up on the ball, and then you kind of twist that front leg back behind you. You twist your leg behind you, your other leg.
But it feels like a trick.
It is.
So why would you do that in an important part
because
of the
game? Because you can kick it 6 inches if you do it the way he did yesterday, Kevin.
Nailed it.
Because you're approaching the ball in one direction, which leads the receiving team to think your momentum, the angle of your body.
Oh, I see.
Kick it that way.
I got you.
That's the only way gravity will allow the ball to go.
And then it goes
then
the other way.
Then you stop, and then you kind of wrap your leg like I'm Gumby, damn it, around your other leg.
Right.
And try to kick it the other direction. And then it didn't work.
I mean, it did go 6 inches. I think Bean's right on that one.
I'm no analyst, but I don't consider that a successful kick. But that's just me.
It didn't work. And the Ravens, who win for the first time since September 24th, are somehow in first.
How about that?
Wow.
All right. Up to the minute on the NFL Network today at 1, and of course every Sunday, DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Here's our personal hero, Andrew Siciliano. Thanks so much for coming on, man. We enjoyed it.
Another one of the bands playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. We made the announcement earlier this morning. What?
Not Ralph. There's too much talking. It's just too much talking.
That's sort of what we do.
Yeah, but it's a morning
wait
radio
for
show.
The microphone to go on.
Oh,
that's
I
what
see.
I'm saying. I'm not
I
saying
see.
You're doing too much talking.
Oh, I see.
I'm talking leading up to when the mic, before the mic's went on. There's a lot of talk about shampoo and mm-hmm. things that just nobody needs.
Was it Bean and Chibi?
Hmm. Yeah. What do you think?
Hmm. It's weird. It's weird when coworkers talk.
It is.
That's odd.
It's unacceptable.
Yeah.
You keep
hate it.
Falling back to that as if that's what's happening.
It
really
what's
isn't.
Happening.
It's like me going to see a one-man show. It's a guy on stage just pontificating about somebody going, well, this is a lovely conversation. Not a conversation at all.
I was talking to Bean.
We were developing an idea.
You guys should email.
Mm-hmm. Might be good on the show, though. We're workshopping it, Ralph. Come on.
I'm looking forward to the podcast.
Hey, that is the voice of the always cheerful Ralph Garman, who is here with another look at the showbiz beat on a Monday morning. What's going on?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. That's the first order of business. Doctor Strange is no stranger to number one, right? $85 million made him number one this week. With the Eye of Agamotto.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Dorothy. Well, where are your brothers, Dorothy?
They're all dead now.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I should have.
They missed Doctor Strange.
It's too bad. Trolls, in its debut, did $45.6 million. How? What? Hacksaw Ridge made $14.8 million at number three. Tyler Perry's Boo was fourth. Inferno, fifth. Then The Accountant, Jack Reacher, Ouija, The Girl on the Train, and Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Rounding out the top 10, Wonder Woman's pregnant. Gal Gadot, Wonder Woman, of course, in Batman v Superman and the soon-to-be-seen Wonder Woman feature film, announced over the weekend that she was very excited that she and her husband, Yaron Versano, are having a wonderful little baby. They already have a five-year-old named Alma, who joined the family in 2011, and now they're going to have a little brother or sister for Alma.
Now, has she already filmed the Wonder Woman movie for next year?
Yes, that's in
so
the can.
Screw that up.
He's in the can, and so be
Wonder Woman
anything
holding
up.
A lot of purses.
Screw that up. Carrying baskets of laundry around her Wonder House. Yeah, it's all good, B. Don't worry about it. It won't screw up your movie that you won't go to see.
Correct.
Because she's going to have a family.
Right. A lot of actresses in the past that made that selfish decision to get pregnant instead of staying in tip-top shape for whatever they're filming.
That's Bean at krock.com.
I wonder if Superman's dead. They should probably do a DNA test, right? Imagine if Wonder Woman and Superman had a baby. That baby would kick ass. Just destroy the jungle gym. Bending metal.
Oh, do you
live
hear
in a
yourself?
Rich, you live in a rich fantasy world. The best kid ever. Hey, we're finally going to get that Freddie Mercury biopic we've been hearing about for so many years. Freddie Mercury, of course, the lead singer of the legendary band Queen. They've been trying to do a movie about his life for years. Most recently, Sacha Baron Cohen was attached to the project, but his take on the role did not sit well with the rest of the band, so that fell apart. This time, Bryan Singer has announced he is officially directing. All three surviving members of the band Queen approve, and they have cast their Freddie, Rami Malek, star of Mr. Robot.
Interesting.
Will be playing Freddie Mercury. So.
Interesting.
There. I think it's pretty good casting.
Pay my dues.
Here he is singing.
Time after time.
I don't think.
He's good. I think that's him.
I've done my sentence.
They might need to find a.
I committed no crime.
Voice like double. Perhaps voice double. Or perhaps use the original.
We are the champions, my friends.
Maybe they can have Wing overdub the singing.
I like it.
We know the song.
Mama.
A lot of different people have sung it.
Just killed a man.
Killed a man.
Put a gun against his head.
Right. Then what happened, Bill?
Pulled my trigger. Now he's dead.
Okay. I think we're familiar with the body of work of Queen, the band Queen.
Just saying.
Options available for the soundtrack.
Joy on Kevin's face right now.
Drink all... All of us are aware that there have been many covers, particularly of the Queen song Bohemian Rhapsody, is what we've established.
It's Monday.
It's a rigged system.
Right?
It's the first day of the week. It's not the last day. This is the beginning of the feelings.
Hey, we're all just having fun, right?
Mm-hmm. Today's celebrity birthdays, TV show host John Taffer. Taffy, as he's known around the pub.
By no one?
No, it's
by
a pub.
By zero people?
It's a pub.
Well, it was a water cooler first.
He does
first.
Bar rescue. Why would we wasting our time at a water cooler? We've moved on
I am
to the
sorry.
Pub. He's 62 years old today. Actor Christopher Knight is 59 years old today. He, of course, played Peter Brady from The Brady Bunch. You know, there's just a small, exclusive club of actors who have actually portrayed Peter Brady throughout history.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Knight, of course, is the original.
Right.
And then there are a few other very, very talented actors who have also portrayed Peter Brady either on screen or on the stage. Steve! Steve did not do it.
Why do I feel like this has to be you, Ralph?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm just saying...
Count Smokey Law.
Some of the best actors have played Peter Brady.
That's did you play Peter Brady in the stage production of The Brady Bunch?
Well, you know I did. Or has the stroke really just removed a lot of,
he doesn't
a
know
lot
a lot
of your
these
memory?
Days. It's
I think there's a lot of memory lost from the clot.
Everything's going wrong.
We need to fantastic voyage you and send a submarine into your blood system to burn out whatever's clogging your brain. David Guetta, the DJ, is 49 years old today. Actor Adam Devine celebrates his 32nd birthday. And singer Lordi.
I think it's just Lord.
There's an E. At the
I know,
end.
But I think it's Lordy. Pronounced just Lord.
Why, then why wouldn't it be spelled L-O-R-D, Kevin? That's how
I
you spell Lord.
I am not Lord. In charge of the spelling
so
of her name.
So it's Lordi.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Lordi is 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. That is Blink 182. They are playing Night 1 of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. That is Saturday, December 10th. Night 2 is Sunday, December 11th. All the details are at krock.com. And you can buy tickets Friday at noon if you're a street team member.
I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying that Daryl is not being treated well on The Walking Dead right now.
Correct.
And last night, there was a song that was played outside Daryl's jail cell. It seemed to me like the deal was he was being tortured with it, and it
yeah.
was just on a loop. It was
every
just
time, just before he fell asleep, they would play it again like they torture prisoners.
Oh. Yeah. And it was a song that I was unfamiliar with called Easy Street that really gets in your head. And that's why they chose it, is because it's an earworm. It's a song that you hear that melody, and even after it stops playing, it keeps playing between your ears. And there's a secret to the best pop songwriters. They have figured out a way to make those songs so hooky that you can sometimes hear them once and you can't get the melody out of your head. But once you've heard it all summer long, it never leaves you.
And you don't even have to like it.
You don't even have to like it. That's the amazing thing. It's not like you're thinking about this song because you love it and you can't wait to hear it again. It's because it just infects your brain. And Lady Gaga seems to be the best at this. She has a whole bunch of songs. Every time you see one of these surveys, and Ralph brought this news to us from Durham University in Britain a few days ago, and they just completed another survey with 3,000 people to try to figure out what songs have earworms and how do they put them together. Lady Gaga had several songs on that list, but this is the one that the researchers say officially is the biggest earworm of all time. You hear this song, I'm warning you now, you're going to be thinking about it all day long today.
Rah,
So we thought it would be fun to find out. We thought it would be fun to find out what your earworm is. The song, like Kevin mentioned, even if you don't like it, it's the one that always just pops up out of nowhere, and you can't figure out, or you can't believe that you're thinking about that song again because you don't want to.
I don't think Bad Romance would be my number one. I have a number one that I think will probably destroy all others.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh,
I hate you.
Right? Now, look, I have nothing against that Disneyland or that ride, but that song is the biggest earworm in the world for me. I can't stop singing it.
And it's part of it because we've all been to Disneyland and we all love Disneyland because it's the happiest place on earth. But it's 20 minutes of hearing that song on a continuous loop.
I guess. I don't know.
I mean, you are really just soaking in it.
But I only played you 8 seconds. You're going to be singing it all day. That's crazy.
Do you have another one?
I have another one. The top one there, Chip. This is an older song, but this is one that I can never get out of my head.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy.
Yeah.
But here's my number. Don't call me maybe.
And I'm not even a huge fan of that song. But since it came out, it tortures me. It will not leave me alone.
That is a great melody, though.
Right. I'm not saying anything bad about it. It's just not my type of music, but I can't get it out of my head.
We're going to take your calls. Look at the phones are already blowing up. 1-800-520-1067. What's your earworm, the song that you constantly think of, even though you wish you couldn't? Allie, you're up.
My first one is a great song that now is in my head forever. Okay. It is by Natasha Bedingfield. Well, it's more of the "I got a pocket full of sunshine." That whole thing, that pocket full of sunshine, over and over, we get it.
And so, what happens? Are you driving down the road, not thinking about Natasha Bedingfield, and then all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere, it hits you?
I have a pocket. Yeah, it's not really that part, but yes, I've got a pocket full of sunshine.
Okay,
I'm angry. It's a lot. And the new one I have actually is just because of the World Series.
Okay.
I had never heard the song before. Now, whenever I see the word Cubs, I immediately say,
they're singing, go Cubs, go. Go Cubs, go.
Yeah.
Hey, Chicago, what do you say? The Cubs are going to win today. Go Cubs, go.
I've never heard that song.
You didn't watch much baseball this year.
Correct.
They had Bill Murray with three members of the world champion Chicago Cubs with him on Saturday Night Live this weekend, and they sang that song, and the entire audience, presumably a lot of Yankees and Mets fans, by the way, just started singing along like crazy to that song. Like, it's so infectious. You're absolutely right, Allie. That's a great example of one. All right, I've got two earworms, too, and then we're going to get right to your calls at 1-800-520-1067 with the song you can't get out of your head. One has been in my head now for three solid months. I think about this song, I'm not joking, at least once a day, this hook goes through my brain. And it was since I saw it on the season opener, the series opener of Atlanta, that TV show on FX, and it's this song.
Paperboy, paperboy, always about that paperboy. If you ain't on your grind, then you flexing, use the hater boy. Paperboy.
I just find myself, you know, I'm doing the dishes or something, or walking the dog, and I just all of a sudden, paperboy, paperboy, it just comes out of nowhere. I can't stop it.
Can I hear some more from you, please?
No, you can't. Again, that's Donald Glover's brother singing that song, by the way.
Oh, is that right?
In case you're curious. All right, and the other one, and I apologize in advance if I'm going to stick this in your head, but it's out of all the hundreds of theme songs that DJ Omar Khan has done for us over the years on the Kevin and Bean Show, this is the one that I most often think of.
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you take that back? Would you like to take that back?
Yep, that one fits with you, doesn't it? Yep.
Tell me, would you take that back?
All right, let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. Which lines are good to go? Do you know?
Yeah, let's start with Romina. Romina in La Puente. Hi.
Hi. The song. Hold on. Let me just make sure you guys can hear me.
We can hear you.
You sound good.
Second, my head is Hozier. Take me to church.
Take me to church. I was like a dog at the shrine of your life. Yeah. I'll tell you my sins and you can sharpen your knife. Offer me that.
So, Romina, when that happens, are you mad about it or are you okay with it?
I guess I'm just tired of hearing the song. I have that song stuck in my head for like weeks at a time.
Yeah, it doesn't help the situation when that song was so huge for so long. I mean, that was
everywhere. Every minute you flipped that switch, it was on.
Yep. All right. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Brent in Corona. Hi there.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, talking about earworm songs that you can't get out of your head.
Firework by Katy Perry.
Baby, you're a firework. Come on, let your colors burst. Make them go
Yeah.
And it's so funny because that Katy Perry song, the Lady Gaga song, a lot of these pop songs that you hear on the radio a lot, they seem to have that formula, that cascading formula that makes that stick in your mind.
Yeah, it's annoying. Thank you,
Brett. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. We'll come right back with your calls. What's the earworm you can't get over? We'll be right back on K-Rock.
That's Kings of Leon, and they are playing the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
And they are a great live band, too. That's going to be a really, really fun show. Hey, we're talking about earworms. Ralph brought us a story a couple of days ago about a university in Britain that did a survey involving 3,000 people to try to figure out what it is about some songs, some melodies that get stuck in your brain. So we're taking your suggestions at 1-800-520-1067 if you've got one. For instance, Jordan writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, Bohemian Rhapsody by Queen, that's my song. We must have tortured him a few minutes ago with playing that. Rochelle writes in, Bean Loves Death theme song is mine.
Wow. Well,
Melissa, also on the Facebook page, mine is Wham's Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. You can totally see that. And I've got one, Kevin. I know you said you thought that It's a Small World was the greatest earworm of all time.
Correct.
But I would ask you to bow to my choice here.
1-877-4-KIDS.
Right?
No!
K-A-R-S cars for kids. I mean...
Oh, no.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
That's hellish,
pretty
isn't it? That's hellish,
awful.
But is it a melody that you just can't get out of your head once you heard it?
Wow.
Yeah. That's the thing is you don't have to like it, and in most cases you hate it. Doesn't matter.
Exactly. Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Who's up first?
Let's start with Ani in Granada Hills. Hi.
Hi. So my earworm song is If You Steal My Sunshine, and I hate it.
Oh, a little old school.
I know that it's all for me.
You said you loved it or you hated it?
I hate it.
Hate it.
Well, then we just did you a big favor right there. Thank you for the call, honey. We appreciate it.
All right. Let's go to Brianna, who is calling from Diamond Bar. Hi.
Hi. It's Genghis Khan by Mike Snow.
I can live in Genghis Khan. I don't want you to get it all with nobody else but me.
Relationship been with that song? Did you like it at first and then not like it, or what?
No, I hate that song. One of my coworkers will surefire ruin my day if I walk into work, and I have to serve people for a living and bartend.
Oh,
and every person I talk to in my head, I'm just Genghis Khan. Like, will ruin my day every time. It's the worst.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to line six. Let's talk to Coy in Huntington Beach. I think Coy and Ally McKay need to take a long road trip so they can listen to this song over and over and over again.
Hey, Coy.
Hey, it's Ophelia.
Oh,
by Lumineers.
Oh, Ophelia, you've been on my mind, girl, since the flood.
That's all you need. It's going to be stuck in your head now.
No.
Yeah. Allie, you've had some problems with that one not getting out of your head, too, right?
I love it.
She loves it. Thank you for the call, Coy. Let's go to Lisa, who's calling us from Santa Barbara. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, hi.
What song gets stuck in your head?
Can't Get You Out of My Head,
but...
That was one that the college looked at. The people who were doing the survey looked at that, and I think they put it at like number two or number three of the catchiest earworm of all time.
Did you say play it again?
I don't think so.
What? She said stop.
You're killing her.
Did you say what?
Oh.
I'm just having with you. Thank you for calling, Lisa. We appreciate it. Let's go to Keenan. This is a strange choice. Hi, Keenan.
How are you this morning?
We are good. We're talking about earworms, the songs that get stuck in your head, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, Falco, Rock Me Amadeus.
No one's complaining about that, I hope. Like it or hate it, Keenan?
Oh, it's a little bit of both. It takes you back to the 80s.
All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Derek, who is calling us from Whittier. Hi, Derek.
How's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. What song can't you get out of your head?
Man, I can't get J-Lo, Jenny from the Block, out of this.
I don't even have that. I'm not going to play that. That's ridiculous. I wouldn't do that.
Sorry.
Thank you, Derek, for the call.
Glad you went to it.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Veronica, who is calling us from Claremont. Oh. Hey, Veronica.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
What song can't you get out of your head?
Ice Cube, Today Was a Good Day.
Today I didn't even have to use my AK. I gotta say it was a good day.
Yeah,
why don't we
end
on that, by the way, because if we're going to get a song stuck in our head, that's a good one to have.
That's not bad, yeah. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
I hate to repeat myself, but I'm just saying if Beck is there, that's all you need.
Right.
Like Beck is the night, you know what I mean? And
right.
You get Green Day that same night, and Weezer, and Bastille, and Fantagram, and Bishop Briggs, and The Head and the Heart, and Andrew McMahon, and The Wilderness, and that's just night two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, announced earlier this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then there's night one as well. Tickets going on sale Friday. You can get all the details at krock.com.
So, tomorrow is finally election day.
What? That really just crept up on us.
About
why didn't we
that?
Hear anything about that?
It's the 7th of November. That means tomorrow is the 8th, and this is all going to be behind us.
Let me just say this.
So we think.
For all of the time and attention that the presidential candidates get, there are so many other things that people are going to be voting for, many of which will affect you more than whoever the president is. And it's kind of interesting that we don't even talk about that very much.
Like Prop 64.
Prop 64 is a perfect example, Kevin. Which one is that?
That's legalized marijuana.
See, now that's going to affect our listeners a lot more
right?
than whether it's President Clinton or President Trump. Exactly. For instance, let's say you hate the death penalty. Maybe this is your election to say, hey, California, no more with the death penalty. I mean, that's a pretty significant thing that unless you're paying attention to the commercials that air, you may not have spent too much time talking about, but they're going to be asking you to make that decision when you go into the voting booth tomorrow.
Maybe so we want to legalize weed.
Well, you mentioned that one already.
Oh, did actually. I? Okay.
Yeah, did you forget? Bad.
That's on me.
Maybe you don't need it legalized if you've already forgotten. So we thought rather than listen to us spout off, because what the hell do we know? We're DJs. Why not get a spokesperson from the California Voters Association on the line? This is Clark Raleigh, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ right now. Hi, Mr. Raleigh. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And I just going forward, because there has been so much mud being slung this year, you are a nonpartisan spokesperson for this for the election, right?
Absolutely. Our position is not try to inform voters who to vote for or what position to take on any of the propositions or measures on this year's ballot.
Okay.
But simply to inform voters to the best of our ability to try to keep them abreast of what these measures and propositions actually mean, what the candidates stand for, and then have hopefully in an educated electorate make its way to the voting booth.
That's very useful.
That's great. All right, so we mentioned the death penalty. We mentioned the weed. What else in particular do you think Californians might need more information about before they go to vote tomorrow?
Well, there's a big U.S. Senate race, of course. You have Representative Loretta Sanchez against California Attorney General Kamala Harris,
mm-hmm.
both vying to win a seat in the U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them have proponents on both sides trying to get them into that seat. But let's not forget that Loretta Sanchez dabbed during a debate.
She certainly did.
Dab, but
just want to keep you well aware of that.
You're not saying that's good or bad, though.
No,
you just have to decide how you feel about
it. You just need to know that during a debate at the end of her statement, she dabbed.
Right.
Just want to make that clear to him.
Okay.
There was absolutely dabbing.
Yeah. That's the important type of thing that maybe we forgot.
That's right. That's what we keep that in mind. Some of the major propositions you covered, of course, there is a proposition that is proposing the legalized use and possession of marijuana for adults 21 years or older. There's a gun control measure, Proposition 63, also on the ballot.
Okay.
There is some of the lesser known ones, Proposition 71.
71,
which is the Swift Voters proposition, which will allow voters to ban Taylor Swift from gathering with more than two members of her squad at any given time in California.
Oh. Wow, we could vote on that?
Absolutely, yeah.
I wasn't even aware that was out there.
So
cool.
That was 71.
Proposition 71. Okay. Yeah, we want to ban her from gathering for any more than two members of her squad.
I like it.
Because once more than two members of the squad to get together, bad things happen.
Okay.
All right.
That's a good tip.
Proposition number two. There's 91, Proposition 91. It's a water proposition that bans any citizen of California for when it rains saying, well, we need it. that person would be to be 14 years in prison or a $3,000
fine. Did you say 14 years in prison?
Yeah, God
deserved.
Damn those people. Hey, it's raining. Well, we need it. Do we, asshole?
Right. I wasn't aware that had made it to the ballot stage.
Yeah, we could made it to the ballot, absolutely.
All right.
Proposition 93 is a safety proposition.
Safety.
It bans Adam Sandler from making any more movies or TV shows inside the state of California.
Oh, wow.
Just too painful.
Right.
And that one, as I understand, is an almost 100% yes vote on
we
that.
We do think that one's going to pass. From the early polls, it looks like that's going to pass.
All right.
Proposition 84 is a transportation proposition.
Okay.
It bans any Uber driver from having their entire car smell like Dracar Noir, Paco Rabanne, or Axe body spray. If any of those three elements are found to be permeating the car, they can get 20 years in prison or $100,000.
That seems like a pretty stiff penalty.
Stiff, yeah.
Not stiff enough. I tried to get a death. I tried to go for death. They wouldn't go for that.
Wow, all right.
And lastly, we have Measure BB, which is an important one.
BB.
Yes, it limits any California citizen from correcting anyone about daylight savings time.
I think you mean savings, sir.
So one time. You get it one time. More than one time, you get hit in the face with a bag full of nickels.
I'm voting for that one. Weezer playing night two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. It's Saturday and Sunday, December 10th and 11th at the Forum. Tickets go on sale this Friday at noon. You have to be a K-Rock Street Team member.
You like the Weezer?
Hey, that's the voice of our friend Ralph Garman. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Monday morning. What's going on?
This may come as a surprise to many of you, but Bean is not the only public figure tweeting out about daylight savings time.
Standard time, the end of daylight saving time, and standard time is now here, yes.
I do find that hard to believe. I can't imagine that's important to anyone else.
Bean was a very busy boy this weekend, tweeting up a storm about that. Poor Chip had to sift through all of his tweets to find us acceptable ones to talk about here on the show.
She became an alcoholic this weekend, I heard.
Yeah,
well, who could blame her?
Right?
I am dead inside. Thanks.
Dr. Drew would be like, here's a bottle. He would like hand it over to her.
Oh, wow.
The only person I know he would actually enable, given what she's had to go through.
Yeah.
But our good friend Jimmy Pardo also tweeted about it this week.
Oh, is that right?
Friend of the show, very, very funny man, host, of course, of the Never Not Funny podcast, just a terrifically talented guy, and as you know, Bean's best showbiz friend.
He is my closest friend in the business, yes.
He says that, yeah.
Bean says that Jimmy Pardo was his closest friend in show business.
Because we texted that one time, remember?
Right, and you guys have so much in common.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I noticed, I read Jimmy Pardo's tweet about daylight savings time this weekend as well.
Man on plane correcting his wife. You know it's daylight saving time, not savings. Me. Who gives a shit, you pedantic f***?
Yeah, so that was Jimmy's take on those people who correct other people on that. So I'm not quite sure they're as in lockstep as maybe Bean would have us believe.
I'm sorry, that's your best friend in showbiz?
Is that your best showbiz friend, Bean?
It is, and believe me, when I assume I'm being invited over to his place for Thanksgiving this year, I assume that'll happen. I'll bring that up, and we'll talk about it. But I was surprised and yet also disappointed.
I don't think you need to bring it up. I think he's made his position very clear on folks like yourself.
And I believe he wins.
I think so as well. It's a Monday morning, so we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Doctor Strange debuted with $85 million this weekend, making it number one by far. Although at number two, Trolls did pretty well for itself. Came in with about $45.6 million, making it number two.
Kevin, you see the Doctor Strange movie?
I did not. Dying Cupid didn't have time.
Yeah, Dave saw it and said it was like an LSD trip for 2 hours.
Sounds like
he loved it.
I'm going to catch a matinee this week myself. I didn't get a chance this weekend.
Can't wait.
I sometimes with the comic movies, I get a little daunted by the large crowds opening weekend. I don't want to sit there and have to fight for a seat and deal with a bunch of yahoos.
Yeah.
So I like a nice midweek matinee. When you got about a half full theater, you got a lot of room, and you can just sort of focus in and
I am Agamotto!
And you yell at the screen.
I do that a lot.
It's great.
That's good.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Dorothy, where are they?
They're all dead now.
Oh, jeez. Well, Dr. Strange could probably talk to them because he deals in the occult. Hacksaw Ridge was number three in its debut with $14.8 million. Then Tyler Perry's Boo, A Madea Halloween was fourth. Inferno was fifth. The Accountant, Jack Reacher, Ouija, Girl on the Train, and Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children rounding out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. This is interesting news. You may remember a couple months ago I mentioned about the fact that they were bringing Jack Ryan to television. Jack Ryan is the character, the CIA analyst and hero of all Tom Clancy's books in that series. And in the past, in feature films, he has been portrayed by a bunch of actors. Alec Baldwin kicked things off with Hunt for Red October.
Why are you on my submarine?
Love that film. Harrison Ford, Ben Affleck played Jack Ryan. Chris Pine has played Jack Ryan.
Ben Affleck was not good.
He was not good as Patrick.
Nope.
No, he was not.
That's a bad one.
I know.
He was not good.
The TV series will be on Amazon Prime, and they've just announced that John Krasinski will be playing Ryan. I think that's great casting.
All right, I like that.
Because he's sort of nerdy, which is kind of what Jack Ryan is. He's an analyst more than an action hero, but then he has to become all action-y when the situation requires, and Krasinski has done that as well. So I think it's a good casting.
Hope he doesn't run into the accountant, because he's the same kind of guy, right? Nerdy guy who's got mad fighting skills. Because they're similar styled
heroes.
Yeah, it's a different movie.
Same backstory.
Right,
but
it's a different movie, though. So it's
different guys.
Completely different thing.
One of them has Asperger's, by the way. One doesn't.
That is a swing and a miss.
Wonder which one Bean is rooting for.
That was a whiff.
Yep.
That is true. All true.
Why do some people tune out?
Also
can't
true.
Imagine why. I hope he doesn't meet Captain America. Because he's a fighter. And they would fight.
Come on. You see what I was going for there?
Yes. It wasn't. Even if it was delivered perfectly, it wasn't that good.
Congratulations to The Simpsons. Fox is just taking the gloves off. They're just like, they're going for gold. They have announced it's been renewed for two more seasons.
I'm number one. Victory is mine. So kiss my behind. Boom, chaka-laka-laka. In your face. Boom. Cha, cacao, ba, a boo, a ba. Who's your daddy? A boo, doo, doo, ba, ba, dow, ba, doo.
The 29th and 30th seasons make The Simpsons the longest-running scripted TV show of all time.
Whoa!
It'll give the show a total of 669 episodes, which it'll reach in its 30th season. That will officially break the record held by Gunsmoke, which had 635 episodes during its run from 1955 to 1975. Homer Simpson took the opportunity to post on his Twitter feed,
"Take that, Gunsmoke! You lost a race you didn't even know you were running."
Simpsons, by the way, is still currently averaging 7.2 million viewers an episode on Sunday nights.
Wow, how about that?
So, still a juggernaut.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Nope. Today's celebrity birthdays, TV show host from Bar Rescue, John Taffer. Taffy. Taffy Pull.
Nope.
Certainly no one's calling him Taffy Pull.
Oh, yeah.
It's not happening.
Oh, Taffy Apple.
Nope.
Nope.
He is 62 years old today. Actor Christopher Knight, you probably best know him as Peter Brady from the long-running Brady Bunch. He is 59 years old.
But let's not forget all those other roles we might know him from, though, right?
Yes. What about his Love Boat appearance? Right? A lot of people remember that.
Sure.
What about his work on Here I Am.
That's Here I Am.
It was a reality show.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. With him.
Where they did what?
He was there.
Right. Doing. Right.
And I believe he and his girlfriend, then slash wife, now I think ex-wife, Adrienne Curry, I believe they had a reality show together.
Yeah, like Grown Up Brady or
Brady. Right. Something right. like that. Yeah. Which was a spinoff of their time on The Surreal Life. I think that's where they met and fell in love. So see, tons of other projects.
Okay.
None good.
And the Bosley hair replacement commercials. Let's not forget that. He's also in those.
Really?
Yes. This is my own hair, he says. So look.
It's a deep dive, Ralph.
That's a body of work.
Right?
Adam Levine. Nope, Adam Devine is 32 years old today. And singer Lorde celebrates her 20th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I got to think that sometimes we take K-Rock for granted at how they're able to put together these shows for the Weenie Roast and for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's astonishing if you look at this lineup.
Yeah, it's very cool, and we have very little to do with it, so we just like to go and watch ourselves.
Yes, of course. We're just there as fans. That's right. All we're doing. We don't have anything. Kevin and Bean have nothing to do with it, but the people who work here behind the scenes, the bigwigs, they put together an unbelievable show every single year, and this year might be one of the all-time greatest. We made the announcement first thing this morning. Let's just say you're one of the lucky Kevin and Bean fans that isn't up at the crack of ass. Perhaps you missed it. Listen up. These are the details for night number one of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Life is too short to last.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, night one.
Saturday, December 10th at the Forum.
It's going to be the best Christmas ever.
Blink 182.
And my girlfriend. Nobody likes you when you're 23. I'm in love with a girl with a rupture. If you listen and
ambassadors.
Smile, it's Christmas time. Well, here's something for you to smile about.
M83.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
You having a good holiday festival, Los Angeles?
AFI. Group Love. The Strumbellas.
And
Kings of Leon. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, night one.
Tickets go on sale Friday at noon exclusively to K-Rock Street Team members. Go to K-Rock.com.
Proceeds benefit para los niños.
I mean, come on, right?
Seriously.
I mean, seriously, come on, right?
Come on, right?
Come on, right?
Seriously.
Seriously,
seriously though.
Seriously,
I mean,
though.
It.
We
come
are
on.
Professional
come
broadcasters
on.
Who know how to use our words.
That's right.
That is eight unbelievable bands, one big night, night number one, Saturday, December 10th at the Forum. Tickets on sale this Friday. What, Allie? What are you
Obviously,
complaining about?
Night two is going to suck because
well,
you have everyone in night one.
Shall we?
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Sunday, December 11th, The Forum.
Night 2.
Welcome to
Green Day.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016. Bishop Briggs.
Especially at Christmas.
Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016, night two.
Tickets go on sale Friday at noon exclusively to K-Rock Street Team members. Go to K-Rock.com.
Proceeds benefit the Al Wooten Jr. Heritage Center.
Come on.
All right, so there's both nights.
Come on.
Come on, right?
Really?
That's all you got is
That's
come
what we're
on.
Saying is come on.
Well, Green Day is just one of the best rock bands on the road today. Beck puts on an unbelievable show.
Remember when he did, was it Beat It?
Mm-hmm.
At the Weenie Roast? Beck? Were you there, Bean?
I'm trying to remember. It was
I think
a cover
he did
like
Beat
that.
It.
I can't remember if it specifically was Beat It, but it might have been. That does sound
so
right.
Good. Yeah. Bastille, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness, Fantagram, Bishop Briggs. I mean, these are two great nights. And tickets go on sale Friday at noon, but you have to be a K-Rock Street Team member. So you go to krock.com and you sign up. You get a password. And then you can buy tickets for both nights this Friday at noon.
You guys see the family that hooked up their Halloween lights
I think there were Halloween lights, maybe Christmas lights, to that song from Fits in the Tantrums.
No.
And they you know, flash along with the beat. It's awesome. It's pretty cool.
Where can I see that?
I think Kat Corbett posted it yesterday on her social media if you want to check it out. I
love Kat Corbett.
And I love Fits in the Tantrums, too. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning. It's 9:37. Ralph has the showbiz beat one more time before we say goodbye.
Just can't get over it. Just doing more research, digging
still
deeper,
Lindsay?
going down the rabbit hole. Mm-hmm. I'm just all about Lindsay today. Because Lindsay is now speaking in a new accent that she has created.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone is saying why.
She's our new favorite foreigner.
She, if you didn't hear it, we're going to talk about it again because I can't get enough. I can't stop digging. She has opened her own nightclub in Athens, Greece. It is a nightclub named Loen. And she did some press for the opening. And everyone noticed while she was in the interview that she started to speak in a bizarre accent that no one could understand. Well, they could understand it, but they couldn't understand why she was using it. And here she is talking about her nightclub and how it's going to be a force for good by raising, for making happiness and making charity. Here she is trying to struggle with the English language, of which she's spoken her whole life, with her new accent.
So our people are scared of refugees and everything in the world. There's a minimum, there's a line of where we can make happiness and to the light of every situation that is bad and make it good. And whereas in the past I've been associated with clubbing and nightclubs, I said, why not do my own and make it a good place where there's, bad things happening in the world, we can focus on the bad things and fix them. So with a club, we can create charity for the club.
With the club, we can create charity. Yeah, man. It's someone that's Jamaican with French, with sort of Persian and
Borat.
Russian. It's just a cluster F of accents. So the UK paper, the Daily Mail, got a hold of her and said, hey, what's up? Here's what she said, the reason behind speaking in her new accent. It's a mixture of most of the languages I can understand or I'm trying to learn. She said.
Now, does she mean by that she's doing it on purpose, or it's just because she's spending so much time learning other languages that it's just creeping into her day-to-day English?
It's because she's so worldly and so multilingual that she can't help herself. She continues, I've been learning different languages since I was a child. I'm fluent in English and French, can understand Russian, and I'm learning Turkish, Italian, and Arabic. So now we know.
At least the influence.
The accent salad that is coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
They asked her, why are you talking like that? And she said, I don't care what people think about how I talk. Nothing really shocks me these days. I moved to London 4 years ago, and the taxes seem to be getting higher.
What?
Exactly.
I'm not sure I follow the connection.
There is none.
Wait, read that again.
They asked her, what do you think about people's reaction to your accent? She told the Daily Mail, she doesn't care what people think. Nothing really shocks me these days, she said. I moved to London 4 years ago, and the taxes seem to be getting higher.
Are you f***ing kidding me?
Oh, no.
The Daily Mail said, what do you call that accent? And she said she wants to let people decide on a name for the accent, because apparently accents need names. And she followed up with her own suggestion on Twitter. This is her latest tweet. At Daily Mail UK, what should I call my new accent? I'm thinking hashtag Liloan.
Nope.
It's a Liloan accent.
Oh.
No.
So now we know, if you ever hear anyone speak like that, she is speaking with a Liloan accent.
F*** you.
It's Liloan.
Did Rodney just cuss?
I think he did.
F*** you.
Oh, come on, Rodney. We can't use those words in the morning. You're used to that potty mouth show you do late at night.
Yeah, he can do anything he wants after midnight.
Jeez. We have responsibilities to our sponsors.
Hmm.
We still have sponsors, don't we?
You know, no.
No, I didn't think so. Rat's leaving a sinking ship. Speaking of the ladies, how about this latest list from Forbes magazine, which, as you know, I've long believed exists only now to publish lists about how much money celebrities are making.
Uh-huh.
Used to be a big business magazine, right, Forbes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now it's just a series of lists. They have released today the list of the top earning women in music for the past year.
Top earning women in music. All right.
Now, Bean, I'm sure you have seen this list already, so we may have to exclude
I
you.
Actually have not.
What?
I have not.
Oh, he lied.
But I do, some names certainly do come to mind when you
Would
start
you like
talking
to play the game?
Yes.
Let's play the game of the top 10 women in music and how much they've earned, okay?
Lady Gaga!
Lady she Gaga,
there, yeah.
Not in the top 10.
Oh.
Right?
That's
shocking.
That is shocking.
Shocking. No Lady Gaga.
Beyonce.
It's Kat.
Kat is not on the list either.
Pop star Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift is on the list. She is number one on the list.
Yeah.
And she will make you vomit with the amount of money she made this year.
This year.
This calendar year.
Whatever
of
it is, she earned it.
She did not earn it. She should choke on it.
How much?
$170 million.
In 1 year.
Over the past year.
Well, that's stadium tours, you guys. I mean, the money adds up pretty fast when you're selling 50,000 seats a night.
It's not just touring. It is endorsement deals with Apple, Keds, and Diet Coke.
Oh, wow.
That pushed her over the top into number one this year. That's repulsive.
That's obscene.
Well, it's a lot of money.
It's disgusting, and she smells so bad. You can just tell she smells awful. She's a racist, first of all. We know that to be true.
We know that.
And a farter.
Yep.
And she smells, what did that guy on the radio say she smelled like?
Imagine how bad she smells, man.
Yeah.
Sulfur. Smells like donkey ass.
And that guy, too. All right, so she's number one. We got that one off her chest.
Beyonce?
Beyonce, fifth on the list.
Okay.
$54 million. So that means Taylor Swift made more than three times Beyonce made this year.
Wow.
That ain't right. That ain't not right.
How about, let's go old school. How about Madonna?
Let's go old school, shall we? Hard to believe. I think of Madonna as being barely relevant.
Yeah.
On the music scene today.
Right.
Third on the list.
Wow.
$76.5 million is what she earned this year.
How?
Touring. Her Rebel Heart tour brought in over $170 million.
Okay. Fashion, The Voice, and a new album, Gwen Stefani.
Not on the list.
What?
Ow. First of all. And secondly, yes, not on the list.
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Eagle Eye Cherry.
Thank you,
also
Kevin.
Not on the list, Kevin.
Peggy Lynn Noonan.
Peggy. I hope she's on the list.
Peggy Noonan, just outside the top 10 of the 40.
Better Than Ezra.
Better Than Ezra is, as best of my knowledge, not a female musical artist. Fan Bing Bing. Mm. And Bing Bing, actress, not musician, but thanks
Mr.
for coming.
Mr. Daffy Duck.
No, not a woman, not a musical artist, not a person.
Demi Lovato.
We're getting closer. She is a woman.
Okay.
And she is a musical artist, but she is not in the top 10 list. I'm sorry.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande, also not on the list.
Adele doesn't.
No. Well, halfway. Adele.
Oh.
Adele. Okay.
Adele.
Second on the list.
Allie, how did you not think of Adele?
You should be banned.
Because you know what it is? I'm thinking really greedy, awful people making a ton of money. I don't think of Adele like that.
You just forgot your best friend.
I totally did.
You guys used to be close.
Adele made $80.5 million this year, making her second.
Deserved. Well deserved.
But almost still $100 million behind Taylor Swift, by the way. Just keep that in mind.
What up, Daisy? These
nuts. D's Nuts, not here. Amy Winehouse, also not here.
Okay, this may be weird, but she did do a lot of concerts. Barbra Streisand.
No.
Okay. Cher?
Come on, you guys are missing some big names here.
All right.
Big names.
Who are missing?
Get real. Get serious. Put your little voice, your little sound bites down and play the game.
All right.
Sorry.
Get real.
Okay.
Show
Sarah
up.
Abramson.
Oh, man, I'm going to take somebody out.
How about Britney Spears with
Britney
the Las Vegas
Spears,
deal?
Eighth on the list. She made $30.5 million this year.
Wow.
Jennifer Lopez made $39.5 million, making her number seven on the list. Allie, well done.
All right.
How about Katy Perry?
There. Katy Perry, sixth on the list with $41 million this
year.
Okay,
now we're getting somewhere.
Good, yeah.
Okay, what have we left out?
Only three left. Number four you don't have, number nine and number ten you're still missing.
All right, I'm going to, this is from Christine, this is the producer in the other room. I think it's a good guess, and I'm going to say it.
And all right, good.
Carrie Underwood.
Not on the list.
Oh.
Not a good guess. Shut up, Christine.
How about, also speaking of Las Vegas, how about Miss Celine Dion?
Celine Dion, 10th on the list.
Are we missing number four?
$27 million for Celine Dion. I'll give you number nine because you'll never get her. Just a little hair, just a half a mil more than Celine at number nine. Shania Twain was on the list.
Really? 20, I didn't know she does anything.
$27.5 million.
Honestly, what was the last time you heard of Shania Twain doing anything?
I hear you. She must have been touring someplace. Number four, though. You're going to kick yourself when I give you number four.
Not Kelly Clarkson.
How about Kelly Clarkson?
Not Kelly Clarkson.
No. Muggs wants to say, how about Jennifer Hudson?
Jennifer Hudson?
Terrible guess.
Why would you even repeat that, Bean? Why would you put that in the conversation?
Because
number four is the only one I've left. You think Jennifer Hudson made somewhere between Madonna and Beyonce when it came to her annual earnings?
Look, I was just trying to shut him up.
This?
He wrote it like 800 times.
You know how you can not shut him up? How you shut him up? By not saying what he said.
Okay. All right, we give up.
A hint. I want a hint.
You want a hint?
Give me a hint.
Count Smokey Love.
Nope. Let me give you a hint.
Reggae? Rihanna.
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 Chip got it. Chip got it. Yeah. Oh. 41. Excuse me. She's fourth on the list with $75 million this year.
Wow.
$75 million. Whew. Thought we'd never get through that.
That is quite a list.
That was good.
Jennifer Hudson?
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Well, where are your brothers?
They're all dead now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dorothy!
I realize. I gotta stop following up with that question, I think.
It just gets sadder, doesn't it?
It really does. Ring announcer Michael Buffer kicks off our celebrity birthdays today on November 2nd. He is 72 years old. Actor David Schwimmer turns 50. And rapper Nelly turns 42.
It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes.
Also, Fieldy from Korn celebrates his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Mr. Garman. Thank you, Ms. McKay. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. We are coming back with an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow. Still no Kevin, by the way.
What?
But we do have our regular Thursday visits from Dr. Drupinski. And boy, is Allie going to yell at him tomorrow.
What did he do now?
It's not what he did.
It's not what he did. It's what all men did. And she's going to take it out on Drew tomorrow.
Unreal.
So you have to save that for tomorrow. Save that for tomorrow. And we'll
hashtag all men.
We'll also talk World Series Game 7 and more in the world of sports with our friend Jim Rome like we do. That's tomorrow right here on the world famous K-Rock.